In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Christine Pohl, in an article about hospitality towards strangers, provides a helpful definition of what we mean by a stranger. We've actually mentioned it before this month, but it's worth us reminding ourselves. She casts an analogy. She once had a visiting speaker over for dinner. Someone else arranged the dinner. She never even spoke to the guest of honor on the phone. She hadn't seen a picture either. So in a sense, this man coming to dinner at her house was a complete stranger. But of course, he wasn't really. She knew the college he came from. They had acquaintances in common. She more or less knew who this guy was who was coming to dinner. She contrasts that experience with the experience of welcoming a homeless man at her family's table. That man, she said, was really a stranger. Many of you have met Elizabeth and I's 10-year-old black Labrador, Molly. Molly is a genuinely sweet dog. She's terrific with kids. She's great with guests in our house. Is perfectly housebroken and generally among the easiest pets I've ever managed. That's good because Molly came into the picture before I did in Elizabeth's life. But if we keep her fed, we let her out when she wants to go out, occasionally get her some exercise, she's good to go. But she does have one fairly embarrassing trait. Molly, when we're out for a walk, is unbelievably rude to strangers. By that I mean strangers in the way that Pohl describes. Molly is discriminating about who she's rude to, people with whom we have no connection or nothing in common. She's not aggressive, but she barks, she stays away, and is obviously put out by poor people. It's nuts. If someone we've never met walks up to us, we've never met this person before, but they're more or less like Elizabeth and I. Molly's very friendly, looking for a pat on the head. She's sweet and affectionate. But if it's someone who's a stranger, someone who's poor or homeless or sick, Molly is terrible. I'm a priest. This has gotten awkward in the past. We're in the third week of an Advent sermon series on stranger danger, welcoming the unexpected. I can't be walking a dog who hates strangers. The situation got a little easier. We moved to a smaller town away from the urban environment where we regularly encountered the poor, the homeless, or the sick folks on our walks. But still, it's awkward to know this habit is just lurking. All that said, I have a secret for you. Part of me appreciates that Molly is suspicious of strangers, especially when Elizabeth walks her alone. That part of me, the sinful and protective part, is pleased to know that there may be a few sharp barks, maybe even a snarl, as someone approaches my wife. After all, stranger danger can be a real thing. This, of course, is ridiculous on my part. Elizabeth has the same responsibilities of welcome and hospitality to strangers that I do. And she's more than capable of assessing a situation, getting out of it if need be, and keeping herself safe. But I still like Molly being out there with her. How many of us are a little like Molly deep down? Sure, we may be willing to put out a meal on occasion or hand a dollar to the man on a corner. But as far as wanting to get to know poor strangers, as far as the welcoming them into our lives, our homes, or our families, well, we're a little bit like Molly. But we ought not behave like a dog. We ought not behave like someone who is afraid of someone just because they're strange, because they smell bad, because they're sick, because they're poor. We're not dogs, but humans. More than that, we're human beings committed to the way and cause of Christ. I think the idea that Christians should care for the poor sounds pretty innocent. After all, we more often than not think of Christians as folks who are good, caring sort of people, and caring for the least of these certainly falls into that category. We're often prone to think of Christians as the sort of nice folks who do nice things for other people. Christians are people who care. Well, that's good enough as far as it goes, but the psalmist that we just read, the psalm has a different idea this morning. We just said the Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and the widow. The Lord shall reign forever. It seems that for God, caring for the stranger, sustaining the orphan and the widow, is not merely tied up with doing good or being nice or considerate. Rather, this seems to be part of the way in which God is conquering the world. God seeks care for the stranger, sustenance for those in need as part of righteousness, and what's more, as part of his reign. This is almost entirely different from the view that such actions are just a sideshow of our Christian life. Rather, the psalmist sees them as central to God's kingdom, to his reign on earth, and to our righteousness or lack thereof before his eyes. The call here is not simply to do more good things, but rather we are to figure out what it means to be part of God's reign, to see his reign extended in our own little corner of the earth. And as the psalmist sings this morning, such a reign will be marked by care for the stranger, for the orphans, the widows. Engaging with strangers, exercising real hospitality toward those with whom we have no connection, and welcoming them into our homes and our families and our lives. Strangers do bring real danger to those situations and to those we love. But such welcome is not an optional part of God's kingdom. It is not an optional part of God's reign in our hearts. Rather, how we welcome the poor is central to our living into his kingdom. All his preaching and baptizing and calling for repentance, it hadn't won John the Baptist any favors. He'd landed in prison. But while there, he began to hear rumors that the Messiah whom he had prophesied, he might just have come. So he sent his followers out from their prison visits to find out more about this man named Jesus. Was he the one they had been waiting for? And where did they find him? They found our Lord amongst the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the dead, and the poor. He's not to be found in a castle or even in a temple, but with the strangers, the ones cut off and cut out of society. They shall occupy the places of honor in his kingdom. He sends John's followers back to John with a message. He says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are risen, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me, but rather wants to join me here in this new kingdom where we recognize the stranger and welcome him as a friend. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me, but who loves what I plainly love. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me, but he knows that preparing for my coming, getting ready for my incarnation, requires them to realize care for the poor and the least of the world is not merely some do-gooder's task, but rather amongst the most integral pieces of their life with me. I think I might have taken offense at where they found Jesus. But blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.